Hi, I'm Bridget, and I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio Code team here at Microsoft. Today, we're going to take a look at remote development using Visual Studio Code, and specifically, we're going to take a look at using the Windows subsystem for Linux, so WSL, and SSH, so SSHing into some VMs and some remote desktop machines. So essentially, remote development allows you to develop against a separate machine or sandbox your local machine's environment to avoid impacting your local machine's configuration. And there's some really cool benefits to doing remote development. So for instance, you could do development on the same operating system that you're going to end up deploying to production to ensure there's going to be consistent behavior in your apps between development and production environments. You could also access an existing dev box, no matter where it's located. You can provide a consistent environment for all members of your team, which can make this really convenient if you have a new teammate starting on your project or at your company. You can save them a lot of confusion when they're starting up. You can also debug or run an application no matter where it's hosted. So even if it's hosted on a customer site in the cloud, that's totally all right. You could connect to it and have some functionality there as well. You can also access some tools and runtimes that you may not have access to on your local computer. When we were looking at developing remote development experiences within VS Code, with these benefits in mind, we had a few motivations. So we wanted to support the Windows subsystem for Linux or WSL and have a really awesome experience for interfacing with that. So providing support for VS Code extensions, for instance. Also, through talking to customers, we found that both development and testing nowadays is becoming increasingly remote. So, for instance, a lot of companies have these really big monorepos, and all of the source code for a company might not fit on the developer's individual machines. So they may need to connect to a remote dev box to do their day-to-day work. Or with current machine learning and data science applications, a developer may need greater compute power and may need to connect to a virtual machine in the cloud. We also found that even though there are existing remote experiences out there was room to optimize them. So, for instance, some remote options require you to copy tools or source code between your local machine and the remote experience, or some may be heavily terminal-based and not have a UI. So we wanted to improve that experience and allow you to leverage the VS Code that you already know and love with its settings and extensions to do your remote development today. So we have three ways that you can access remote development in Visual Studio Code. You can access a virtual machine or a physical separate machine using SSH. You can access a Linux distro on your Windows machine using the Windows subsystem for Linux, and you can even develop within a Docker container on your local machine. Now, to access all of these experiences, we have a separate extension in Visual Studio Code for each of them. So if we go over to the extensions view, and I type in remote, I can see all three extensions here. So I can see that I have remote WSL, I have remote containers, and I have remote SSH as well. And now with each of these three extensions, they essentially divide VS Code into two different pieces. So there is a VS Code client part that runs on my local computer, and then there's a VS Code server, and that's going to run in the remote part. So the server could run in WSL or in the container. And we also have a remote development extensions pack where, if you wanted to grab all three extensions at once, you could go ahead and get this extension pack instead. And now, in this episode, we're going to take a look specifically at remote WSL and remote SSH, but keep an eye out for a future episode of Tabs versus Spaces, where we'll take a closer look at remote containers as well. So SSH, or the Secure Shell Protocol, allows you to access a virtual machine or a remote desktop machine through a secured network connection. It's typically used to log into a separate machine, execute some kind of commands there, and then do things like transferring files. And it also allows you to do things like forwarding ports or network connections. In order to establish an SSH connection, there's two different components because it follows the client-server architecture. The client is going to be installed on your local machine, and the server is on the remote computer or machine that you're connecting to. If the client's credentials are established upon an attempted connection, then a secure encrypted connection is established between the two components. Now, SSH clients are shipped by default with Linux and macOS, and as of more recently, OpenSSH ships by default with Windows 10 as well. Now, there are some really cool benefits to using SSH for connections. For instance, it's pretty secure, so it requires either passwords for authentication or using public key authentication. And as I mentioned before, any data that's sent through an SSH connection is going to be encrypted. And also, another benefit is that SSHing into a machine, whether it's a VM in the cloud or a separate physical machine, really provides you an entirely separate development experience than your local computer. So it could be a different operating system. It could have a different tech stack installed. It could have different source code than you have access to. It could have greater compute. And this gives you a lot of options when you're looking to do a variety of development applications. So using SSH, I'm able to interact with files and folders without ever putting source code on my local machine. So I could interact with files on a remote desktop machine, on a VM, or even in a container that's running an SSH server. But rather than just telling you about that, let's actually take a look at a demo and see it in action. So here I am in the new Windows terminal, and let's take a look at how I'd even SSH into a remote desktop machine, let's say for instance. So the typical syntax that we use is SSH username at hostname. So luckily, I already remembered my username and hostname. So I have SSH, and I know that this remote computer that I want to connect to, my username there is Bridget. And then here I have the hostname for it. And then once I hit enter, it's going to prompt me for that computer's password, which I will go ahead and enter. And once we're there, we can see that our prompt has changed here, which means that we went ahead and logged in. This is pretty cool because it actually means that we are connected to that computer and we can go ahead and view its files. But while that is pretty cool, we don't really have much like UI functionality here, much tooling here. So even though I can run some commands, I could go ahead and view the files that I have there. And if I even wanted to, I could use something like Vim to interact with the files. That kind of requires like memorizing some commands, and I don't want to worry about memorizing those commands. And I'd really rather be able to use VS Code because that's what I'm familiar with, and it gives me the familiarity of like some awesome extensions and things like that. So instead, I'm going to go ahead and navigate over to VS Code to work with a web application that I know that I would like to see its code and potentially run and launch and things like that. So I'm going to go ahead and open up Visual Studio Code. And here I already have the remote SSH extension installed. And whenever I have one of the remote extensions installed in VS Code, it adds this green remote indicator to the bottom left. And we can see now that we have these commands. So what I'm going to say is connect to host. And I already have a couple of hosts, which is just going to be one of those remote machines. And I know that I want to connect to my remote laptop. So once I clicked that, now we're setting that up. So I need to, again, enter my password. SSH is secure, so it's going to prompt us for that. And there we go. Now we can see the remote indicator updated to say that we are connected via SSH to our laptop. So let's see what else has changed in VS Code. If I go over to the Explorer, it tells me that I'm connected to my remote. So if I say to open a folder, I can see here that this actually isn't my local file system anymore. This is the remote file system because this isn't the directory that I have on my local computer. This is the directory of my remote computer, my remote laptop. So I know that I want to work with this Python web app that is located on my remote laptop. It's going to open it up. Let's see what happens. Okay, so I'm going to enter my password again. And there we go. Now we can see that we are looking at some actual code that we have located on a separate computer. And we didn't even need to worry about copying any source code to our local machine from that remote machine. So let's see what else we can do in VS Code here. So if I go over to the extensions view, we can see that we actually have two separate sections for extensions. So there's locally installed extensions. And now these are typically going to be things like theme and UI extensions for VS Code, things that are going to reside on our local VS Code instance. Whereas we also have a separate SSH side for extensions, and these are going to be extensions that are installed on the remote side. So I know that I'm working with a Python web app, and so I wanted to install Python on my remote instance here. And so now let's go ahead and see how it looks to actually like work with or run this code. So if I just say run, I'm going to say start debugging. Let's see what happens. Okay, we can see we're getting some terminal output. And all right, so we can see that it started a development server at this location here. And there we go. So we can see our web app running. And so this app just logs some simple messages for us. I'll just say, hello, remote SSH. And I'll log that. And there's our message. Awesome. Okay, cool. So let's go back to VS Code here. And I'll just stop that running there. Control C. Okay. So let's see some of the other things we can do. Because with remote SSH or any of the remote extensions, we get the full development experience as if we were running VS Code completely locally. So we can do things like debugging. So let's say, for instance, we wanted to set a breakpoint and do some debugging. So here in this views file, I want to go ahead and set a breakpoint before I send a new message in my web app. So before I return home, when I submit a new message or I log a new message, I'm just going to go ahead and set a breakpoint. And let's try running again and see what happens. Let's make sure we can actually go ahead and do some debugging using remote SSH. Okay, we'll click on the link again. All right, and let's give it a shot. Say debugging. Let's say log. Okay, we can see that we are loading here. And we can see that our VS Code is flashing. Okay, we see that we successfully hit our breakpoint. So we are able to do debugging using remote SSH, which is super cool. Okay, so I'm just going to say continue. I'll go back to our app. And we successfully then went through our debugging stage, which is really cool. And we can see that we have the full functionality as well, just like we would expect locally. So for instance, I could say things like go to definition if I wanted to. I get syntax highlighting and completions, all of those kinds of functionality. And as well as we had seen, let me move out of there. As we had seen, our application was opening up on this port 8000 here. We can see that the extension automatically forwarded this port for us. So it took care of SSH port forwarding, which is really convenient as well. And if we take a look at our settings, so I'll go to preferences, settings, we can see that we can specifically set up settings just for this SSH connection, which is another really neat feature. Okay, so now that we've taken a look at working with some code on a remote physical machine, I remembered that I also have a data science application that I would like to take a look at and do some work with. But I remembered that it actually requires some pretty strong compute. So even if I tried running it on this separate physical machine or on my local machine, neither is powerful enough to execute it. So what I would like to do is go ahead and work with a VM in the cloud to do that. So if I go over to the Remote Explorer here, which is also added whenever I work with one of the remote extensions in VS Code, I can see some SSH targets, which are going to be any of those separate machines that I've attached to before. And I can see that I have this VM in Azure that I've worked with. If we take a look at the Azure portal, we can see that I actually have a set of VMs. And with these VMs, I can configure each of them depending on my development needs at the time. So for instance, I have a VM for my data science needs. So I gave it a ton of compute power to make sure that it's quick enough for all of those time-consuming applications. I also have a Node VM. So that way, It already has that tech stack set up for those node applications. And I also just have a standard Ubuntu VM, since I know my local machine is Windows. So anytime that I want to develop some sort of Linux apps, I have that option as well. So you really have the option to go ahead and set up a variety of VMs if you wanted, with a variety of tech stacks or dependencies already set up for you. So with this in mind, I want to connect to this data science VM using remote SSH in VS Code. So that way I can work on this data science app that I'm curious about. So I'm going to go back to VS Code. And here I can see, so before we connected using the remote indicator, which we totally could do again. But another option that we have, if I escape out of that, is I can also click here and connect to a VM through the Remote Explorer. Here, we're going to connect to this data science VM. And we can see that we already have my app on it. So I'm going to open it up. All right, cool. And we can see that our remote indicator now updated to the latest VM or the latest SSH target that we are connected to. OK, so I go over to the terminal. Let's go ahead and try running this app. So keep in mind, if I tried running this on my local machine or even on that separate laptop that I was connected to, it took at least a couple of minutes to run. So really having the benefit of being able to connect to a separate VM can speed up execution, hopefully. So let's see what happens when I click run. Okay, so we can see that the application is starting. It is starting cross-validation. This is just a simple example of some data science. And there we go. So it was able to complete a task in about 11 seconds. And when I tried this previously on my local machine, it took a couple of minutes. So using the power of SSH, I'm now able to harness more powerful machines than I would normally have access to if I was just restricted to my own hardware. WSL, or the Windows Subsystem for Linux, is an actual Linux distro running on Windows. It lets you use your favorite Linux tools like Bash and Linux commands. You can install Linux-specific frameworks or frameworks that maybe function the best on Linux, like Python, Go, and Rust, without impacting your local Windows setup whatsoever. Just like with SSH, you get an isolated environment when you're using WSL. But rather than connecting to a separate physical machine or a VM in the cloud, you're still working on your local machine. It's just that this WSL environment is isolated or sandboxed away from your Windows machine. If you're done with your Linux distro for some reason, you could actually just go ahead and uninstall it, and your Windows setup wouldn't be impacted whatsoever. So you may be wondering, why use remote WSL with VS Code? So when you're working with a remote Linux environment with WSL, your development tools are actually pretty limited. They're pretty much restricted to the terminal, or if you wanted to, you could actually go ahead and view your files in VS Code if you open them up in the WSL mount. That's really where it ends. You wouldn't be able to run or debug your apps unless you installed the same tech stacks on the Windows side that you had installed on the WSL side. But then that really defeats the purpose of having an isolated Linux environment on your machine. So remote WSL has the benefit of making this flow much more smooth and simple. So take, for instance, a tech stack like Go. The experience would look something like you install the tech stack on the WSL side, which gives you the debuggers and the linters that you would need. And then you could go ahead and install the Go extension within VS Code. And then you're able to actually work with your Go files when you're opening them in VS Code. And so then you could run them, you could debug them, you get syntax highlighting, you get the full experience you would expect from a local VS Code experience while connected to WSL. All right, so now that we've learned a bit about WSL and why remote WSL with VS Code is awesome, let's take a look at it in action. So here I am in the Windows terminal, and I'm going to open up an Ubuntu tab here. And I'm just going to go to my home directory here. And if I look at some apps I have, I can see I have a few applications here. And whenever I'm working with apps or files in WSL, it's best to use the WSL file system for the best performance. So here I want to go ahead and work with this app that I've titled My Python App. So I'm going to go ahead and change to that directory. And then what I can do to launch VS Code within that directory, just say code dot. Once I do that, VS Code is going to open up. And here we go. So now VS Code has opened up within this directory. And we can see here that we can view this file. But if we hover over it, we can see that it is the WSL mount path. And it's telling us we don't have a Python interpreter selected. And I wouldn't really be able to do much with this because I don't even know if I have Python installed on my local machine. And I don't really want to worry about installing Python on my local machine or worrying about what version of Python I have installed. So what I would rather do is just go ahead and work with WSL. So I can see that I got this notification here that said I have WSL installed on my system. So I'm going to install the recommended extension for it. All right, so went ahead and installed the remote WSL extension. And now, if I go back here to my command prompt, I'm going to do a code dot again. I'm going to close this old instance. And now we can see that our app actually opened within WSL because our green remote indicator that you may remember from the SSH demo has updated to show us that we are connected to Ubuntu, which is the distro that I'm using for WSL. And let's see how this looks. So if I navigate over to the extensions viewlet, similar to the SSH experience, we have extensions that are specifically installed on the WSL side of things. Then I can also open up a new terminal here. And if I ask for uname here, it says that I am working on a Linux machine, which is pretty cool because even though my local computer is Windows, it says that I'm working on Linux when I say uname because it's registering that I'm connected to my WSL instance. And now if I say Python dash dash version, oh, I think I did mean Python 3 dash dash version, so thank you for that. I can see that I'm using Python 3.8.2. So I say Python 3 app.py. See hello from Python on Ubuntu on Windows, which is pretty cool. Okay, and now if I hover over my app here, we can see that we have the correct Linux path. So now we have successfully gone within WSL for this application. So now if I go ahead and close this folder, so I can still be connected to my WSL instance. And if I say open folder, I can go ahead and navigate my remote file system, which is going to be my WSL file system. And again, you want to use the WSL file system rather than the local file system for the best performance. And you also want to use WSL2 rather than WSL1 for the best performance. But rather than working with an app that I already have on my system here, I could also go ahead and clone one from GitHub. So I'm going to say clone repository, and I already have a URL, so I'm going to paste that here. And I'll just clone it within my WSL file system. And now that it's cloned, I'll go ahead and open it. And then just one tip is to make sure to set consistent file endings between your Linux and your Windows systems. We'll ignore that notification for now. All right, so now I'm working within a Node.js application. And we can see that we're going to get the full VS Code development experience, even though we are still connected to WSL. So we still are going to get syntax highlighting and completions and go to definition. So for instance, yeah, we can see that we're getting suggestions and IntelliSense and all of those kinds of things. If we go ahead and run this application, let's see what happens. So I'll say launch program. Okay, so it says that our server is running here. I'll go ahead and open this up. Let's see what happens. All right, cool. So hello VS Code. And now let's see what happens if I want to say hello VS Code from WSL. Yeah, let's add in another exclamation there. All right, I'll save that. Let's refresh. Oh, hold on. Okay, let's say hello VS Code from WSL. Let's restart there. And there we go. All right, cool. So we can see that it is taking our changes there. And now we can also see if we go to source control that it's registered that we've made some changes to our app. So let's go ahead and say update hello message. And I will go ahead and I want to commit that change. So I'm going to automatically stage and commit my changes here. And then push them to my repo. And now let's see what happens when we go check on our GitHub repo. So let's refresh it. All right, and we can see that it says updated hello message. So it actually went ahead and updated our GitHub repo while working within WSL in VS Code, which is pretty awesome. So we can see that we get the full local VS Code experience that we would expect and that we really enjoy while connected to WSL. A container is a piece of software that packages your code and any of the dependencies that your code needs to run. So for instance, a Python container would include my Python app, along with all of the necessary Python runtimes and dependencies already set up for me. The VS Code Remote Containers extension lets you use a Docker container as a full-featured development environment. So it actually lets you open up any folder or even a GitHub repo and take advantage of VS Code's full feature set. Containers are a super popular tool nowadays, and while they are definitely super useful, there's a lot to cover for them. So we recommend checking out our documentation online, or keep an eye out for a future episode of Tabs vs. Spaces, where I will dive into the exciting world of using the Remote Containers extension in Visual Studio Code. So I usually go with tabs because it saves time, but I feel like the best of both worlds is having a tab that automatically inserts spaces for you. And then touching back on the remote development topic, I feel like making sure you have a tab that inserts the same number of spaces, no matter where you're connected or where you're developing, is also really important. So here I am in VS Code, and I am SSH'd into that same laptop I was working on before. And we can see in the lower right here, it says that I'm using spaces. But I can actually toggle between indenting using tabs or spaces. And I can choose to make it a consistent size, which is super convenient to make sure that no matter where I'm developing, it's going to be the same number of spaces. So that way, code is going to still stay super readable. So I could say, I always want to indent by 4 spaces. So when I go over and tab now, I can make sure that it was going to be that size. But now if I switch to spaces, and I say tab, we can see it used spaces instead. And if I go over to my preferences and then settings, we can see here that similar to when I had my other configured specific settings, I can specifically search up tabs here. And I can say that specifically for this SSH connection, I can set up a certain tab size every time that I connect to it, which makes sure that it's going to be consistent upon every connection. Thanks so much for joining me today to take a look at doing remote development with SSH and WSL in Visual Studio Code. We'd love if you took a look at the extensions and if you wanted to learn more. So we have our documentation. You can also open an issue or feature request on our GitHub repo, which is different than the main VS Code GitHub repo. You can also share feedback with us on Twitter, and you can also reach me directly on my Twitter account, and I'd love to connect with you there further. So thank you again, and happy coding.